senior specials be part of the service. It's very important. As I was looking to the Lord the last time that we had brought a message to you, it was about the encampment of the enemy, and we talked quite a bit about how that happens. And this morning I want to talk a little bit more about the enemy and his snares and his traps for us, a little bit about how it works and what he does. For people to win when they're fighting any kind of a battle against an enemy, they have to understand the enemy. It won't do any good to fight something that you don't understand, and then you are, so to speak, beating the air in the wrong place because you don't really understand where the enemy actually is. You can tell he's around, but you don't know where he is. And so we need to be especially mindful of realizing that the enemy is around us every day, trying to trip us up, trying to set snares for us and traps. And you all know what a snare and a trap is. You all know a snare, you know, a cord of some kind is laid out in a pathway to where something will step in it, and it can be snared by leg traps. You know, they trap wild animals. There's such a thing as when animals are trapped with these traps, they've been known to chew off their own leg to get away. They've been known to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, how serious are we to get away from the enemy? You know, how serious is it? How meaningful is it to us to be able to be free? Many times we don't even recognize some of the smaller things in our lives as being a trap that the enemy has set. We don't even recognize it as that. So it's very, very important that we recognize it. We want to start today in Isaiah 24:17. This scripture says, "Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth." Sin is the snare that traps all the people on this earth. Sin in all of its forms, in all of the ways that we can. We didn't ask, so to speak, for sin. We're born into it, but we participate in it. As we grow, as children, we start out doing small things. We may not understand it as sin, but hopefully our parents are teaching us that it's wrong. But as we get older and we come to the age of accountability, we understand that we are caught in something.
Yeah.
That it's not easy to get away. We are caught in it. And that's what sin is. It is something that the enemy comes in and is able to take us and our minds and our hearts and turn them towards sin and all of its evils. And many, many times people don't even know. They don't even know it's sin. They don't even know it's a trap. They don't even know what they're getting into. They have no idea. Just like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, people go out and they marry all these companions, different things, and they don't realize what they're getting into. They don't realize what that particular companion is going to bring into their life. And many times they know something, they know a little bit, but they don't pay attention to it. Many, many people have known some things. Many, many people have overlooked faults and failings in other people in order to go ahead and go through with the relationship. And they just overlook it and overlook it. And the enemy, the trap and the snare of the devil is when he tells you it will change. It will change. You can change it, or they will change it. There's only one person that can change us, and that's God. And if they are not interested in God, they will not change. They may be able to inhibit part of their behavior, but not for very long. They may be able to do it long enough to fool you, but it won't last forever. The enemy has, they're in a snare, and they can't get loose unless they turn to God. God has to be the one to let them loose. We want to talk also in 2 Timothy, we want to start talking about people that are in this kind of a condition. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. But we want to start reading at the 25th verse first. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, the enemy lays the trap and the snare, and because people are in sin, they can't avoid them. They just naturally blunder into them. Their flesh is drawn in, or whatever. I remember when I was a young girl and we were camping up in the woods, and there were chipmunks all over the place. And they were, you know, you could feed them things. They were used to people having food out on the picnic tables and things, and you could feed them, you know, chips or whatever, and they would come pretty close to you and all. And so I decided I wanted to trap one and take it home. And so I got a box, and I kind of slipped that one lid down, and I propped it up with a stick and tied a string on the stick. And I went over and I put those potato chips into there. And it wasn't very long. They went around that box and they sniffed it all around, and they looked at it, and they, you know, were curious about it and all. But those chips, they just couldn't resist it. And pretty soon, one of them went in there, and I pulled the thing, and I had a chipmunk, and I had him for quite a long time. He lived in the house in a cage. But see, they just can't resist. And they're taken captive. It wasn't his will to be a captive. He didn't know he was giving in to anything to be a captive. He didn't know he was going to live in a cage. He didn't know any of that. But because I wanted it. He ended up in a cage. And I was thinking about how that the enemy does that to us. And we end up all caged up in all those places where we didn't think that we would ever be. All the places that we said we'd never go. All the things that we said, well, I mean, I want to live for God, but I'm never going to do this. We find ourselves just slipping further and further away because they're snares. The enemy has laid these traps and snares, and you can't avoid them because your flesh cries out. If you and salvation changes our desires, it changes our flesh, it changes the things that we can be exposed to and stay holy. It changes us.
True.
Changes our heart, our outlook, everything about it. Then I want to go back to this 24th verse in the same passage. And we want to help people, don't we?
Yes.
We want to help people that are in sin. We want to help those that are in sin.
Yes.
And it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So it's talking about us now and how we react to those that are ensnared. It is very, very important that those that are out there caught in these snares and traps, that they feel something coming from us that draws them and does not repel them. It's important that they realize that you are there to help them. So it says that we have to be gentle and we don't strive with them with words and we're patient and we're in meekness. In other words, we're non-threatening.
Yeah.
We don't want them to feel threatened because they won't let us into their life if they feel threatened.
True.
So we have to exhibit something that is different from other people in the world that are trying to persuade somebody to their way of thinking. They do not go after it meekly. They go after it in a worldly way. They debate and they strive and they try to prove you wrong, and they have these arguings, and there are all kinds of these kind of things on the internet. I came across something popped up, and I came across and where this person is arguing for God, and he's arguing against those they're against. And it's a debate, and it's an argument, and it's strife and everything. And when this person wins a point, they clap. And when that one wins a point, they clap. This is not godly.
No.
This is not how God wants us to win sinners, is by debating them down to the ground and making them feel foolish. This is not. God is not in that. He is not in so many things. All of our political systems, all of our disruptions in society, wars and rumors of wars and all of these things, these are all of the world.
Yeah.
And they are snaps, they are traps and snares to catch us. Mm-hmm. Everybody won't be caught by the same thing. There might be civil disobedience that some people are caught by. And there might be political whatever that some are caught by. It might be this cause or that cause. There are so many causes. You know, save the trees. You know, save the animals. Save the bugs. Mm-hmm. Save the this. Save the that. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere. Yeah. And what do we have the opposite of that? Oh, you know, don't kill the animals, you know, for food. We can't have that anymore. Somehow we have to be able to eat this food without killing anything. You see all the things that the enemy has thrown out there, and it's ensnared people.
Yeah.
It's ensnared people to the point to where they have all these causes, and they're not righteous causes. They're not righteous, they're snares. But the enemy even tricks them as they're caught in this snare. He tricks them into thinking that it's a righteous cause. But you know what it's really supposed to do? It's just supposed to occupy you. It's supposed to occupy your mind. It's supposed to occupy your thoughts. It's supposed to occupy the things in, so that you have no time to invest in the things that are really important. Mm-hmm. It's all traps and snares. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have to be very wise in how we do this. We cannot debate people over civil things. We can't debate people over political things. This is not what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. This is not what Jesus came for. He came for their souls. He did not attack, although he did tell the truth to the elders. They should have known who he was. He did tell them the truth. But you see how he taught? He talked stern to the elders that were supposed to know better. And they had the word, and they read the word in the synagogue, and they were supposed to know all these things. He talked pretty plain and stern with them. But the people just out in general, out in the world, he didn't do that. He understood they didn't know anything. They didn't understand anything. They weren't in the same place as the elders and the ones that were touting that they were something special and holy and better than other people. He was very gentle and kind, even when the woman that was caught in the very act, he was gentle and kind. He did not expose her more. He did not talk more to her. And you know what? He also didn't rail on the people that had brought her to him. He didn't rail on them either. And he didn't bring up the other part of the whole equation. Where is the man? He didn't bring that up either. What did he deal with? He dealt with the ones that were there.
Yeah.
He said, you cast, if you're without sin, you cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty simple saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it convicted them.
Yeah.
The woman, he asked her, he says, well, where are the accusers? And she says, they're not here. And he says, well, I don't condemn you either. In other words, I don't condemn you either. I understand where you come from. I understand you've been caught in a trap.
Yeah.
You've been held and you didn't know how to get out. And it was the only thing you saw that you could do for whatever reason. And what he did was then he said to her, he says, but go and don't do it again.
Yes.
Don't do it again. Do you know that that made an impact on her? That woman was expecting to die that day. That woman was expected, she was expecting to die. She knew she had thwarted the law for the last time. It was a death sentence. That's what she knew, but that isn't what Jesus looked at. There are people out there that are desperate. There are people out there killing themselves. They're desperate. They are so caught in snares, they don't even understand they are. They don't even understand what's working around them. They don't understand why their mind is like this. They don't understand why they can't get away from it and why they can't think normal and why they can't do normal things, and they don't understand. They're just caught.
Yeah.
They're caught in it. And there are all kinds of theories out there of why this is happening. Many kinds of different kinds of doctors saying it's because of this, and it's because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to say it's because of sin.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to say that.
Yeah.
But that's the real snare.
Yeah.
It's out there.
That's true. Lord help us.
So we have to be non-threatening in order to win people. And you're going to find people that just love to debate. And you're going to have to leave them alone. You know, you're just going to have to, you're going to have to let them spout what they spout and then walk away.
Yeah.
You're just going to have, because you're not going to win.
No.
You're not going to win. You are not wise enough, strong enough, intelligent. You don't have the vocabulary that is going to work the miracle that causes them to turn around and go a different way. God has that.
Yes.
He has that. Our job is to show them love, to encourage them, to try to encourage them about God, to tell them a little bit here, a little bit there, in a very non-threatening way. That's what God wants us to do. So then another snare. You know, there's a place in the Bible that says, the little foxes spoil the vine. It's in Song of Solomon 2:15. The little foxes spoil the vine. Do you know it's not big things in our lives? Once we're saved, it's not big things usually that take us down. It's a series of little things that build up over time. The enemy does not go out there and put out a big rope, you know, 2 inches thick, and a big snare, and lay it in your path, and say, okay, step in this. No, you, it's easy to see. No, but he takes this little tiny fish line, you know, and he lays it out there where you can't hardly see what's wrong with it. Can't hardly see where it makes any difference. This little thing, and what's this little thing mean? It doesn't mean anything. Just try to get rid of it. You'll find out what it means. But it's the little things that the enemy tries to trip us up with. Just a little here and a little there. He is willing to wear you down. He isn't like a boxer that goes in with the idea of a knockout blow. He just wants to wear you down. Because if he can wear you down and get you tired, then he can send a knockout blow.
Yeah.
So we have to mind the little things, the little traps, the little things. Just that little word. I have this little pet peeve maybe that about this word. And when I hear this word, it causes something to rise up in me. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We've all had some of those kind of things. Don't you use that word around me. The Lord knows.
Yeah.
And the devil knows.
Yes, he does.
And he knows how to push your buttons.
True.
He knows what they are. Mostly because he set the traps and the snares when you were in sin that you stepped in and got caught by, and now there it is, and it's still there.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize, I'm saved now, and I'm living for you now. But there's still something that you were snared by way back there.
Yes.
That still, when you hear that word, or that situation, or that whatever, and it triggers.
Yeah.
Pushes your butt. So we have to mind the little traps and snares, the little things. Only God can reveal to you the little things in your life that are a snare to you. Because we all have different ones. They're all similar. And some of us can have the same ones,
mm-hmm.
but we're all different too. And we don't all have the same ones.
Yeah.
So only God can reveal these kind of things to us.
Mm-hmm.
It says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man. The fear of professional people. The fear of educated people. The fear of a boss. The fear of family. The fear of a husband or the fear of a wife or fear, basically, of people. The fear of man brings a snare. You'll be caught by it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find, when we have those kind of fears, you'll find out that sometimes the words out of your mouth aren't as truthful as they need to be. And you'll be convicted over it because it isn't as truthful as it should have been because of my fear. How they'll react to it, what they'll say, what they'll tell somebody else, what the repercussions might be.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of man brings a snare. No matter whether it's in our own families or whether it's out in the workplace or whether it's out just in the world in general.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things going on in the world right now. And we can fear foreign governments. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There are people that spend their whole life fearing other governments and what they might do. Some of these people work for government agencies, and it is their job to fear what they're going to do,
yeah.
to find out what it is, to fear it, to try to figure a way to stop it, and all these things, but their whole life is based on the fear of something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize how high this goes up in people, how high it goes? The fear of a business takeover.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of, what am I gonna do at the end of my life? I better worry about it now. I better make sure I have lots of money. I better make sure I'm saving here and I'm saving there, and there's nothing wrong with saving.
Mm-hmm.
But some people worry and work their whole life. And some of them, they get to retirement age and they keep working because of their fear of not having enough. And they die before they ever use it.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of man, the fear of the circumstances that man produces, it is a snare of the devil to have those kind of fears.
Yeah.
to have the kind of fears where somebody says something to me and I can clearly say, well, what do you think of this? Mm-hmm. And I can clearly say what I think. And I'm not saying you should always say it, but there are times that you leave and you realize I should have said something.
Mm-hmm.
But my fears,
mm-hmm.
my fears of what would happen, my fears of what they might say to me or what they might think of me or how they might react or who they might talk to about me after I leave. And Lord, help us.
Yeah.
All these fears, we've got to not be in a place where we have these fears of men. They are snares. In Proverbs 22:24-25, it says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. So make no friendship with an angry man. Make no friendship with a lustful man. Make no friendship with a lying man. Make no friendship with all kinds of men, all kinds of people. We have friendships in this world. And we have made friends with people. When we've been out there all in the snare of the enemy out there in sin, we made a lot of friendships. We made them for lots of different reasons. We made them for protection. We made friendships to benefit us. We made friendships to align ourselves with a certain thing that is happening in the world. We've made a lot of different kinds of friendships out there. But those friendships, you're going to learn their ways. Just like we learned in Sunday school this morning, Solomon, he learned their ways, didn't he? He learned their ways, and pretty soon he was going their way. And that's what will happen to us. There is no place in the Bible where it says that you will be able to change somebody else's mind. The Bible, it says, he told them in the Old Testament, if you marry into these countries, they will lead you astray. Just a positive statement. They will. Not that they might, or they might get an advantage over you, or you'll have to be very, very careful. No. He said they will.
Mm-hmm.
I think God knows more than we do.
Yeah.
And he said they will. Nowhere in the Bible does he say, oh, go out there and make all of these associations and get together and be friends and make marriages and all kinds of things with all these sinful people because you're going to convert them. Does God say that anywhere in the Word? Nowhere. He always cautions us to stay away. Don't get too close. Be careful. Don't think that you're going to be the one. It's going to change them. And yet, many people live like that. So all of our friendships, we're going to learn some people's ways. It's kind of like this. If I go to the South, you know they have an accent. Over in Europe, they say I have an accent. I don't know what it is, but they say I do. But I go to the South and their accent, before I know it, I've got a little twang of an accent in my voice before I leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You learn their ways. You get comfortable in it. It just morphs into this thing that comes over you. And learning, you know, having an accent or something like that, that isn't necessarily a sinful thing, but that's just the sound of a voice. But what about all the voices that you hear? What about the voices? You know, what's happening today is there are people listening to lots of voices across the internet. Lots of voices. Everybody has a forum now. Everybody has a stool to stand on and say what they think. And there are lots of voices being portrayed out there. And if they're set, the enemy is setting snares.
Yeah.
He wants to ensnare people.
Yeah.
So now, it used to be that it would be like a newspaper, and it would only be your local news anyway. And it would be maybe several weeks before you would even hear about news in another part of the country. Mm-hmm. And letters going back and forth would take weeks, and you wouldn't know anything for a long time or anything. But now it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
We hear about something today, and the people are marching in the streets tonight. Because of the internet, because of the forums, because of the voices, because of those they're making friends with, those that they're allowing the snare to get a hold of them. And there's so many tragedies, you know, that happen.
Yeah.
So many tragedies because of the snares of the enemy. But these friendships, we have to be careful.
Yeah.
Who we're friendship with. The scripture says that we shouldn't, how does it go for the world?
Friendship with the world is enmity with God.
There you go. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. In other words, it's just plain an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these ones that we're having friendships with, they are actually an enemy. They cause more havoc in our lives than they give us anything good. And we need to understand it. And we need to protect ourselves from it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean, well, I'm only going to see them every other week because they make me feel so bad. No. No. You have to get away.
Yeah.
You have to cut. There are some things we have to cut off.
Yeah.
Just completely cut off. Some of these friendships are not good.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Try to find some of these on the internet. Just try. There's a few. But just try. Just try to find all the true things on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Or the honest. Yeah, everybody out there is really being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Or what about the just? No, what you hear about is injustice.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear about just things. You hear about injustice.
Yeah.
And it's a snare of the enemy meant to inflame you and upset you. Do you hear about cure things? No, we hear about the most degrading, awful, impure things.
True.
And they're spoken about just openly.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be those kind of things were spoken behind closed doors.
True.
Adults only, and children didn't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not today.
Mm-hmm.
It's all out there. They just say it in the news, the words and everything they use. It's just blatant. So these are the things that bombard our mind. These are snares. They are meant to enslave you. Your mind, the devil, wants to enslave your mind. He wants to have it in a snare, caught, to where you cannot focus it on the things of God. You can focus it on everything else. Everything else. From the thing you hear, from the thing on the internet, from the thing at work, from the thing going on in the family, from the thing going on the highway, to the thing going on in my political, you know, government over me. He wants to ensnare our mind. But to think about on the good things, honest things, the pure things, the just things, those all come from God. Those all come from people that are living for God. You won't find these things in the worldly sinner people. You won't find these things. There are many, many people that talk about people that have gone on and they were sinful men and they've gone on and they will say, oh, they were such a good man. They would give you the shirt off their back. But that's the only thing they can say. They can't say they were honest. They can't say they ever, never cheated anybody. They can't say they were full of virtue. They can't say they were that they were always pure. No, just that he would help people.
Yeah.
The snare is that if you just do good, if you just go out there and have a cause and do some good, then you're a good person. If you have a cause, that's a snare of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a cause and do some good, then you are a good person. And don't let anybody tell you different. And it's not true.
No.
It's just a snare. It's a snare of the enemy to keep people from thinking about their souls, to think about that they're in sin, to think that they need to make sure that they do things right and end up in the right place and do the right thing. So I want to read this passage in Matthew 26, 38 through 41. Matthew 26, 38 through 41. And this is Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then saith he unto them, my soul. This is Jesus. Now, these are the people that have been the disciples that have been following him, that have been, they're healing the sick. And they've been watching him do all these miracles, and they've been following him and learning, and they've been, they're full. And he says, my soul, Jesus says to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Jesus needed something from me. He needed something. You think God needs something from us today? Do you think he needs something from us? And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples. And he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want you to understand here, I don't know how long Jesus prayed. I don't know. I think in one account, he prayed two different times. But the point is, when he came out, he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. He didn't say, could you not watch with me all night? You know, could you not, you know, be fervent in spirit and wide awake and calling on God? Could you not do that all night with me? He said, just 1 hour. Why is it the enemy fights us so hard that we don't even, can't even hardly find an hour in our day to get to the Lord? He said, can't you watch with me 1 hour? These are Jesus' words. Can we watch with him 1 hour a day? Can we do that?
Lord. Yeah.
Or does he find us sleeping?
Lord.
Does he find us, many times what we do is we give the best hours of our day to ourselves. And we give the sleepy hours, the tired hours, the end of our day hours, we give those to the Lord. And then, yeah, it's very difficult for us to watch for 1 hour. But whatever is your most productive part of the day, we all have some place in our days that are more productive than others.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have jobs and we have things that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we get off of our jobs, there are things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be watch with the Lord for an hour.
Yes, Lord.
He only required him to watch 1 hour. Mm-hmm. That's all he wanted. Could you not watch 1 hour? He knows we're but dust. He knows that we're tired. He knows that we don't have stamina and strength. He understands all these things, but he says, but can you give me an hour?
Mm-hmm.
The snare of the enemy is that we are too tired to give him the heart of anything. The snare of the enemy is that we have taken all of the best hours and we have done for ourselves because this has to be done. Because this person is counting on this to be done by tomorrow. And what is my Lord counting on? What is my Lord counting on for tomorrow? See, it's a snare. It's a snare to feel like we have all these things we have to get done. Our days are so busy. They're so full. And it's so hard for me to find time to be with the Lord. No, it's not. It's not hard to find time. It's priority of time. Because I can guarantee you, you will not get everything done that you wanted to get done. You won't get everything done you want to get done. Hardly anybody does. Why? Because one of the snares of the enemy is to give you a whole list of things that he knows you can't possibly get done. But he makes them so important in your mind that you've got to run after this and then run to that and then run here and run there. And after it's all done, you go, oh, I got that done. I'm so tired. And the Lord says, can you watch with me 1 hour? Oh, yes, Lord. I'm gonna read and pray right now. And I start reading and my head bobs. You know, I get down to pray and I wake up a little while later on my knees. But I sure ran around and got all those things done. All those things that are snares that the enemy puts in our pathway to catch us with so that we will not watch and pray. This is a snare to occupy you, to occupy everything about you, to give only your tired times to the Lord. In 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. There's suffering in salvation, in being saved. There's suffering. There is suffering in this world. There is suffering if you're a sinner. There is suffering if you're a saint. The difference is that the suffering that I suffer when I am a saint is not brought on by the lusts of my flesh. It can truly be said that my suffering may be suffering with the Savior. That like he had to suffer when he was here, so he would understand some things, so that he would have the kind of compassion maybe, so that he would be able to know what pain felt like, and that he would be able to have what he needed to be able to work with people. You know, he came from heaven. He hadn't had to work with people down here. He didn't know what it was like to be in a human body. But God, the Father, sent him down here so that he would experience all those things.
Yeah.
That he would be the perfect sacrifice then. Because he would conquer the flesh, because he had on a fleshly body. He would conquer the flesh and show us that you can too. But we're going to have to do it his way. So arm yourselves to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you're going to have reverses in life. You're going to have bad things happen to you. Jesus did. You're going to have people that leave you and don't want to be around you anymore. Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have people betray you. Jesus did.
Yeah.
The snare of the enemy is to think that now that I'm saved, I shouldn't have to suffer this. I shouldn't have to do this. I shouldn't have to go through this. Lord, you know, take care of this for me. I can imagine sometimes the Savior thinking, can they not suffer 1 hour? Can they not suffer 1 hour? Because, you know, in God time, one day, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day, 100-year-old person, in God's time, has only lived about 2 hours and 27 minutes, something like that. So God's looking down and he's saying, you can't suffer 1 hour? Because all of eternity is waiting.
Yeah.
But the snare of the enemy is that, no, I can't suffer. I can't go through this pain. I can't go through these disappointments. Why me? Why is it always me? And self-pity and different things come up. And it's all snares of the enemy. Why? To keep you from suffering. Why? Because just like Jesus learned through his suffering. In fact, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. What do you think we're going to learn through the things that we suffer?
Yeah.
If he learned that, what do you think we're going to learn? So why doesn't the enemy want us to be at peace in our suffering? Why doesn't he want us to look to God in our suffering? Why does he want us to fight against it and be upset by it and all the pain and all this and all that? Why does he want that? Because he doesn't want us to learn any obedience. There are many snares that are set out there for our souls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the enemy's job.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand what he's doing. And we have to understand and look at this whole world. And everything in it is his domain. The only thing in this earth that is not his domain is the saved person. He's in all the others. He has them. They are trapped. They are snared. They are not their own person. They are going through all the motions of everything he wants. He keeps throwing more and more snares on them. They get tighter and tighter. They're deeper and deeper in sin and more trapped and in prison as they go along. We are the only thing in this earth that God cares about. In this respect. Didn't he say he's going to burn up everything else? But he didn't say he was going to burn us up, did he? He said he was going to take us.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only thing that's going to survive.
Definitely.
We're the only thing he cares about. Yes, he created the animals and he created nature, but he did that for us.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need to see that. But what it is that he has created us to be with him. We are his children, and he has created us to have a relationship with him, so that there is a fulfilling of a relationship, and it's not one-sided. God is fulfilled in this relationship between us. He is fulfilled. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants us. He wants that relationship. He wants all of that. He wants that intermingling of love and devotion. It flows back and forth. He's devoted to us and we're devoted to him. He loves us and we love him. He wants to help us with everything that we're going through, and we want to help him with his cause. You see, it's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy wants to destroy that. And he uses all these things and systems and ways of thinking in this world. They're all snares that take up your time and take up everything to where you will not take that hour to watch with him. Can you watch with me 1 hour? That you won't take it, that you won't do it, that you won't have that personal relationship with him. That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to beware,
yeah,
of all the snares and traps.
Mm-hmm.
Of you. Yeah.
That's 302.